Live from the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Now on KPIX 5, coming together to tackle climate change. New details on a united West Coast response. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto.
And I'm Elizabeth Cook. In San Francisco, Governor Gavin Newsom, Mayor London Breed, and other West Coast leaders are signing a new climate change agreement to further expand the region's climate partnership from 2016. The Pacific Coast Collaborative, made up of California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, along with a slew of major West Coast cities, are on a mission to create a low-carbon economy for the West Coast. The collaborative goal is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions at least 80% by 2050. But it goes beyond transportation. It includes infrastructure, clean energy, and protecting oceans. Meantime, the California State Transportation Agency just released their new climate change action strategy. At least 34 key actions, including committing $150 million to a newly established Highways to Boulevards program, more than $1 billion for the active transportation program to expand safe walking and biking options, aligning statewide transportation programs with statewide climate goals, and 8 new rail projects and 1 active transportation project added to the Interregional Transportation Improvement Program.
And the Navy is aware of its impact on the environment and also of the serious consequences of climate change on its missions. KPIX 5's Lauren Toms on the military's sweeping new strategy.
This is what we typically imagine when we think of the Navy. But the service's Undersecretary for Energy sees a different picture, a major opportunity to combat climate change.
We are a seafaring service, and so there has always been that intrinsic and necessary connection to the ocean, to the environment, and how we operate and what we do.
In a recent report, the Navy described climate change as one of the most destabilizing forces of our time and set a goal of emitting net zero emissions by 2050.
People say, why are the Navy and the Marine Corps focused? That's a question I get a lot. It's to make us better warfighters.
Berger says that mission readiness includes doing their part to prevent hurricanes and wildfires that Marines often deploy to for aid and assistance.
We're caught in this environment where the impacts that we're seeing are calling on our Navy and Marine Corps more, but also compromising their ability to be able to respond because of how consequential a weather event, how consequential a heat event, which California knows so well.
California is one of the biggest domestic leaders in shifting to renewable energy, something the undersecretary says she's keeping a close eye on.
The Navy, of course, is a big consumer of fossil fuels. So ships, airplanes, those are big fossil fuel consumers.
While aircraft carriers and destroyers may not see a shift to electric power soon, Berger says that some of the Navy's fleet is already starting to make changes.
Our vehicle fleet, yes. So we're absolutely looking in line with what you're seeing as certainly the California trend, also the national trend, to make sure that we start to make that transition.
And while mission readiness is the top priority, Berger knows a shift from the Navy can have a ripple effect around the world.
It's not just when the crisis strikes. It is in the lead up. It is that anticipation. It's being proactive. It's being cognizant. Because at the end of the day, nobody wants to have conflict. We want to make sure that that's all deterred.
That was Lauren Toms reporting. Of all the military branches, the Air Force is the largest producer of greenhouse gases. Yesterday, it released its own climate action plan with the goal of operating its bases at net zero emissions 4 years earlier by 2046.
All right, the million-dollar question, Jess, though, is the weather going to cooperate for the Blue Angels this weekend, especially tomorrow, because we're going to be out there, too.
Yeah, exactly. We're all going to be out there. It's going to be an amazing event regardless of the weather, but we are expecting partly cloudy conditions, kind of similar to what we're dealing with right now. Daytime highs are going to warm up just a little bit more as we head into our Friday and Saturday setup, and we're going to talk about the reason why that's happening as well. We'll feel it a lot more off in those East Inland Hills. For our friends closer to San Francisco, that marine layer is staying strong this morning and even into the afternoon hours. That's floating all along the coastline. It's even impacting the Golden Gate Bridge. We'll see it dense in as we, or dense, become more dense as we head into the evening hours. But let's take a quick look at what we can expect for daytime highs at least. This afternoon, we're sitting in the upper 60s near San Francisco. By tomorrow, if you're heading out to Fleet Week, we're expecting 70s. That'll last as we head into the weekend. Above average temperatures in the upper 60s, lower 70s. So you know the drill. As a San Franciscan, make sure you bring that Patagonia jacket. We'll talk more about Fleet Week and exactly what you can prepare for in just a bit. But for now, over to you, Liz.
All right, thanks, Jess. Time now for a look at today's top stories. A massacre at a child care center in Thailand. 37 people were killed, mostly children, after a former police officer went on a shooting rampage. According to the Royal Thai Police, the gunman was a former corporal who was fired from the force in June after being arrested on drug charges. A witness says staff locked the daycare doors when they saw him approaching with a gun, but he shot his way in. The assailants also took his own life after killing his wife and child at home. New projections show a dim outlook for the world economy over the next few years. Today, the International Monetary Fund lowered its growth projections to just under 3% for next year. The IMF has already dropped global projections three times since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Amazon says it will hire 150,000 warehouse workers for the holiday season. That includes full-time, part-time, and seasonal employees. Its competitor, Walmart, also looking to hire up to 40,000 seasonal workers for the holidays. Okay, let's take a look at the big board and look at Wall Street right now. As you can see, it is down to start your Thursday, down almost 400 points.
The Biden administration might tap into the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve after OPEC Plus said it is cutting oil production to boost prices. Biden could release up to 10 million gallons from the reserve. That would provide temporary relief for consumers. OPEC Plus announced yesterday it was lowering oil production by 2 million barrels a day. That's their biggest cut since the start of the pandemic. OPEC officials say it's to address falling demand due to a recession.
We are not endangering the energy markets. We are providing security, stability to the energy markets.
OPEC's cut goes into effect in November. It will make things like filling up your car and heating your home more expensive. Biden might also lift some sanctions against Venezuela to allow it to resume oil exports. That cut to oil production comes as California's statewide average for gas is close to the all-time high we saw back in June. California's average price per gallon is now at $6.42. That's 2 cents shy of the all-time record set back in June. Our Sarah Donchi explains what might reverse that trend.
Rain to be in, so it fosters creativity and focus, and I think that's what I like about it. And I've always liked to drive.
Bon Francisco says when he drives, he's in the zone. So he does it for a living. 9 years later and almost 28,000 rides as an Uber and Lyft driver combined. But these days, the numbers are not adding up in his favor.
I keep a record of all my purchases, my gas purchases. In the last 2 days, it's gone up 14 cents at my favorite Arco station up the street. And, you know, that's unconscionable.
Average gas prices in California are creeping to all-time highs, and drivers say it's taking a toll.
I mean, thank God I'm driving a Prius, because otherwise, I don't know what I'd do.
So much so, in fact, that for drivers who can afford it, EVs are seeming like a safer bet.
There's definitely a growing number of drivers that are realizing, hey, I could make an extra $800 a month driving an electric vehicle, so I might as well make the switch.
Experts say the recent spike in prices is a result of California refineries going offline and lagging supply. OPEC's announcement Wednesday to slash oil production by 2 million barrels a day is expected to send prices higher across the U.S. But they also say there could be some relief on the horizon for Californians.
I don't think that the OPEC announcement will be very noticeable to California drivers, partially because our prices are so high, and partially because we're probably going to see the prices coming down as we switch over to the winter blend.
That's good news for Bond, who banks on his driving money to bolster his retirement savings.
If the gas prices go too high, I just won't drive.
There's also a little bit more good news for California drivers. The first of the gas stimulus checks will be sent out starting Friday. Sarah Donchi, KPIX 5.
Now, to qualify for a payment, you need to make less than $150,000 if you're married and filed your taxes jointly. If you're single, the income limit is $75,000 a year. You have to have lived in California for at least 6 months, and no one can claim you as a dependent. The state expects 90% of the payments to go out this month.